some push, and a little pull.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as we start the trading day. It's a long haul, but one survey says the economy will pull through. CIT might pull through with a little help from its bondholder friends. And for one kid, the sky is the limit for pulling some legs. Where's Wall Street? S&P 500, 0.6% up right now. Same for the NASDAQ and the Dow. The Dow trading up about 56 points at 8,800 even. Asian markets up today as well. The Hang Seng shot up 3.5%. European stocks are mostly higher as well, more than a percent. Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist at S&P Equity Research. He joins us live from New York. Hi, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So we got the tone last week with some positive earnings from the big banks. The earnings parade, of course, continues this week. What are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking that the bar has now been elevated a bit because we had a better than expected result from the big banks, from Intel. GE didn't even report numbers that scared people. So I think now the bar is a little bit higher. I think it's going to be important for companies such as Caterpillar, which should be reporting on Tuesday, along with DuPont, United Technologies. These are global firms that are more in the industrial and material spaces that are going to be reliant upon infrastructure spending and just the overall health in the economies to show improved guidance as well as better most recent earnings.
Better barometer with those reports.
I would think so, yes.
I want to talk a little bit about CIT Group. It lends money to small and mid-sized businesses. It was on the brink of bankruptcy, but reports say they were able to work out this $3 billion private rescue loan. Why should I care about what happens to CIT?
Well, I think it's an interesting comparison between Wall Street and Main Street. Wall Street, while it was paying attention to CIT, was trying to evaluate if CIT is the equivalent to Lehman Brothers, and I think that most investors are saying no, it's not. While it could have a deleterious effect on Main Street because they do lend so much money to small employers and therefore could have a negative impact on the unemployment rate should they go under, I think in general what might be a negative for Main Street might not necessarily be a negative for Wall Street.
All right, Sam Stovall, thanks.
You're welcome.
We do appreciate it. The Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, has doled out more than $300 billion so far to banks. We're getting a better idea of how those banks are using the money. TARP watchdog Neil Borofsky is out with a new report today, and Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
Borofsky surveyed more than 300 banks that accepted bailout money. Most of them say they've used some of the money to support lending, but they've also used it to help build up capital to protect against losses, pay off debts, and buy failed banks. Borofsky wants the Treasury Department to require banks to report such information, but the Treasury has resisted.
The problem is that it is not possible to say definitively how a particular dollar of a TARP investment has been utilized.
That's banking consultant Bert Ely. He says banks basically have a big pot of cash. Money gets dumped in from lots of sources.
And once the TARP investment gets dumped into that big pot of cash, then you can't track the flows after that.
Borofsky, the TARP watchdog, says his survey proves you can track the flows of money. The Treasury does track lending by bailout recipients. The latest shows that new loans increased slightly in May. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Nothing like a kid with sky-high dreams to keep British aviation on its toes. For 6 months, the 17-year-old who billed himself as Adam Tate claimed to head up a new European airline. He made phone calls to airports and aircraft manufacturers, posing as three different executives from the phony company. But an airline magazine became suspicious and busted the boy's cover. His father says the teen has a form of autism. No charges from police in the case.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about bank earnings, as I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, for the past week. We're going to get Morgan Stanley numbers Wednesday, and it seems there's been no shortage of positive news coming from those financials. Is it bunk talk or bank talk? Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us this morning. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So financial earnings still coming out. What are we expecting?
Well, what I'm expecting is whatever the earnings are from whatever companies to hear all sorts of commentaries from Wall Street about how these earnings show that things are getting better.
But is that the truth?
They may believe it to be the truth. I don't believe it to be the truth.
Why?
Because I look at a lot of these earnings statements and I see things like in the Goldman Sachs statements, for instance, where it says, by the way, commercial property is trouble. You look at the J.P. Morgan earnings and they're saying, well, gee, we had these write-offs and big losses on mortgages. So depending on whether you think the earnings of these companies matter or what's happening with people and the borrowers matter, you can interpret this any way you choose.
So this is all about sort of finagling the facts.
Well, it's about the word spinning, because a lot of the stuff is ambiguous, and I'm interpreting it my way because that's what I see and that's what I think. But if I were in the Treasury and wanted to have optimism, or I were in the Fed or the White House or on Wall Street where they've never seen anything that's not a reason to buy, I'd say more optimistic things.
But gosh, Alan, if I'm the average listener, I'm asking myself the question, you know, how am I going to get down to the nuts and bolts of what's really going on? Where do I find that information? How do I sort of look through all of this, as you call it, spin?
Well, of course, one way is you just listen to me and assume that I'm completely right about everything. I mean, that works for me, may not work for the listeners. And the other thing is you accept the fact that things are murky, stuff might or might not be starting to turn, and right now, there is no such thing as an objective truth you can find, and you try to muddle through, which is what we've been talking about now on this program for 2 years of, you know, keep your head down, don't get into too much debt, and you'll just try to survive.
And we shall see. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Hey, share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. The online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, is there in the scratchpad, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.